Amen. Page 83 in your blue books. All your blue books out now. Ain't we got enough? Blue books. If you can't find one, just help somebody help you get one. I'm bound for the promised land. All right. Everybody stand in. Jordan, stormy banks I stand, cast a wistful eye towards Canaan's fair and happy land, where my possessions lie. I am bound for the promised land. I am bound for the promised land. Oh, who got so many. All right, sister, that's page 83, all right? Let's go to the second stanza. O'er all those wide extended plains shine one eternal day. There God the Son forever reigns, rivers night away. I am bound for the promised land. Shall reach that happy place, be forever blessed. When shall I see my Father's face, in His bosom rest? I am bound for the promised land. I am bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me, bound for the promised land. All right, be seated. Good old song. Usher's coming forward. All right. Amen. Curtis, pray for us again, brother. Yes, Lord.
We give you the praise and glory of heaven in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, man. Page 199 in your blue folder. Did you think to pray? Amen. Let's stand together. 1999, ere you left your room this morning, did you think to pray in the name of Christ my Savior? Did you sue for loving favor as a shield today? Oh, how praying rests the weary, prayer changed the night to day. So when life got dark and dreary, did you think to pray? When you met with great temptation, did you think to pray? By His dying love and merit, did you claim the Holy Spirit as the guide and stay? Oh, a praying rest the weary, prayer would change the night to day. So when life seems dark and dreary, don't forget to pray. When your heart was filled with anger, did you think to pray? Did you plead for grace, my brother, that you might forgive another who had crossed your way? Oh, how praying rests the weary, prayer would change your night today. Being the life dark and dreary, don't forget to pray. When sore trials came upon you, did you think to pray? When your soul was bound in sorrow, balm of Gilead you arrow at the gates of day. Oh, how praying rests the weary, prayer changed the night to day. So be seated. Thank you. Appreciate that. All right, my brother Sammy, why don't you come in and preach, brother, and amen. We're going to use you, brother.
Thank you, brother.
Think you got a warrant?
Yes, sir. Brother, I got one right here. Thank you. I'm going to tell you the truth. After that message this morning, it's hard to follow that.
Yeah. Amen. We had a good time this morning, didn't we?
Yeah,
amen. It was a good message.
Yeah,
good spirit in the service this morning, and it was good. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And I'm going to need your prayers this afternoon. And if you have your Bible, turn with us in the book of Luke, chapter 15. Luke, chapter 15. And try to bring you a short message. Very familiar passage of Scripture to everybody. You've heard it 100 times. Whole lot better than what I'm going to be able to do it, but you pray for us this evening, and we're going to try to have something that maybe feed our soul a little bit this afternoon. Luke chapter 15, beginning with verse number 11. The Bible said, and he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me, and he divided unto him his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and then there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's house have bread enough to eat and bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion on him and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Every head bowed. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, Lord, for the privilege, God, that you've given us. God, Lord, once again, to stand behind the sacred desk. God, you know our hearts, Lord. You know we need help tonight. And God, we just pray, Lord, that you take the message, use it where it's sent. Lord, it's a very, very familiar message, a very familiar passage of Scripture. Everybody's heard it a lot of times, but God, we just pray, Lord, that something may be said or done this afternoon, Lord, that would touch your heart. That, Lord, it would cause us to fall in love with you all over again, Lord. God, we just pray that you'd have your way today. Lord, those that's on the prayer list, Lord, we just pray, Lord, that you bless those ones that are sick, those that are working. Touch our pastor, Lord. God, we just pray that you'd keep your hand upon him this week, Lord. May he get some much-needed rest this week. May he get his battery charged. And God, get him back home safely again this coming weekend. Lord, we just pray that you'd have your way. Go with us and lead us and guide us in all that we do, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. It's amazing that Brother Young preached this morning on returning back to the Father's house, returning back home. I'd like to title my message this afternoon, Going Home. Amen. Look, this message is not, it's not really about the, it's not really about the prodigal son. It's not really about him at all. If you read it before, if you looked at it before, it's all about the father. It's all about what the father's done. It's all about what the father was doing at home while the young son was out in the world. You see, whenever we go on vacation, whenever we go somewhere, you know, after we stay gone a couple of days or 3 days, we kind of get homesick, don't we? We start looking to go back home. You know, I've been here long enough. I'm kind of missing home. I'm missing my recliner. I'm missing my bed. I'm missing my pillow. I want to get back home. And I believe after a little while, look, it's always good to get back home. Amen. It's always good to get back home. The world says you can't go home again. After you leave home, you can't ever go home again. But it's not that way in the book. Amen? Listen, Jesus Christ has never said that before. We can always come home to the Father. No matter how far we went, how far we strayed, how far we've done, and what we've done, Jesus says it's always welcome. You can come home to him, and he'll forgive you, and he'll love on you again. Amen? Look. It's no greater joy than being able to be home. Amen. Look, it's no greater joy than being able to come to your church. We visit a lot of churches. We go other places. But look, it ain't no church like our church. Amen. Amen. But let me tell you something. There's no place like home. And the prodigal son finally found that out after a little while. The Bible don't say how long he was gone. The Bible don't say how many, whether it was years or whether it was months or whether it was weeks. But it didn't take him long to realize that he missed home. Amen? And he wanted to go back home. He's a type of the backslidden Christian. A lot of folks think this is a story of him getting saved and getting born again. But the Bible doesn't teach that. Listen, he was always a member of the Father's house. He was always a member of the Father's family. When he left, he was still a member of the Father's family. When he got back, he was still a member of the Father's family. He was a backslidden Christian. Amen. Just like today. Amen. Just like some folks in the church. Look, we get upset. We get sideways about some things sometimes. We get the pooch mouth to think, well, I don't like the way they're doing over at the church. It looks like they'd do this sometime. It looks like they'd do that sometime. It looks like they would do a little bit of this sometime. And we all kind of get pooch mouth and kind of get sideways. And we start running it down. We start talking about it. And listen, we start going getting sideways about things. And we start thinking about quitting. We start thinking, maybe I'll just visit somewhere else. Maybe I'll just go somewhere else. That's like a lot of church folks do, you know. But let's look at the prodigal son. Let's look at his worldliness. Listen, somewhere along the line, Somewhere along the line, he got tired of working on the farm. Somewhere along the line, he got tired of his dad telling him what to do and where to go and how to do things on the farm. Somewhere along the line, he got fed up with saying, I'm tired of doing this. I'm tired of going over there and doing that. I'm tired of having to get up at 5:30 in the morning. I'm tired of having to haul this hay all day long. I'm tired of having to feed the chickens. I'm tired of having to feed the horses. Look, man, just give me what's mine, and I'm going to get out of here. You won't ever have to worry about me anymore. A lot of church members are like that. They kind of got an attitude sometimes. Well, I'm just fed up. I'll go somewhere else. It'll be a lot better somewhere else. But I got news for you. They got problems too. I'll promise you that. Listen, let's look at the prodigal's worldliness. Verse number 13, the Bible says, and not many days after the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country and wasted his substance on riotous living. On riotous living. Listen, far country just literally means leaving your own people. He said, I'm tired of my family. I'm tired of them telling me what to do. I'm going into a far country. I'm going to go and live like I want to live. And it ain't nobody going to tell me how to live. That's the way the wicked world is. Look, they'll suck you in. The devil will throw you a curveball. He'll make you think that you're living it up. He'll make you think that you're missing something. Once you get out there, beloved, listen, sin has no boundaries. It has no limits. Look, you get out there and you keep on doing and keep on doing and keep on doing, you'll go farther than you'll want to go. And I can guarantee you it's going to cost you a whole lot more than you can pay for it. I promise you that. Look at the worldliness of him. I'm going to tell you something. A lot of our churches are like that today. Look, it's been said 100 years, it looks like. But look, the church is so worldly and the world's so churchy, you can't tell them apart anymore. You go in some of these churches, you wouldn't even think it's a house of God anymore. The way they do, they never mention God. They never mention the Lord. They never mention the plan of salvation. They never mention how to get to heaven. It's all just a good time, having a good day, fellowshipping with people, and then going home. First John chapter 2 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. The love of the Father, the love of the Father is not in him. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of the Father and the will of God abides forever. Worldliness will take you too far. Look at the desires. Look at the desires of the prodigal. He said, I want it right now. Give me the present. He won't think about the future. He won't think about tomorrow. He wants everything right now. It is such a discouraging thing today in our churches that God, the things that God's allowed us to have in our lives and in our church and what he's done for us, we take it for granted, and proclaim it for ourselves when we should be giving God the glory for it. A lot of folks come to church, and if they've been here a little while, they say, look what I've done. They wouldn't have that if it weren't for me. Look what I've done. They wouldn't have that if it weren't for me. Look what I've done. They would have never had that if I hadn't put the money for it. But listen, it's all because of the grace of the Lord that we have these things. The prodigal told his father, he said, look, you give me what's mine and you'll never see me again. You won't owe me nothing. I'm leaving. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 tells us, why we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The Bible says in Colossians, set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. Beloved, we need to be looking heaven all the time instead of looking at the things around us and seeing what we can get and how much we can get and how wealthy we can be. But not only that, we see his desire for pleasure. Verse number 13, listen, he wasted his substance on righteous living. Listen, he wanted to live it up. He wanted to go out and in the world. The world will be your friend, beloved, as long as you've got money and worldly possessions. I can promise you that. Look, you can have all the friends you want to as long as you got some money and you can set them up and buy this and buy that and buy everything that they want to have. You'll have friends, but there'll come a time when you won't have those friends anymore. Oh, look, as long as you got the money, you'll have parties and you can live it up and everybody will be your friend and all the friends will have booze and all the friends will have everything they want as long as you can pay off that money and buy them up and buy this and buy that and buy them clothes and buy them cars and buy anything that they want. But when that money dries up, you won't have any friends anymore. When the money dries up, your friends will dry up. and you won't have anybody. You got a lot of worldly friends, maybe, but they're only foul weather friends. Hebrews tells us, choosing rather to suffer the afflictions with the people of God than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Would to God that the prodigal son would have remembered that when he went out into the world. But let me look, the world will throw you a curveball. They'll think you're missing out on a whole lot of things. They'll make you think that you'll have fun out in the world, but you'll not have any fun. The Bible says there's pleasure in sin for a season, but it's only for just a little while. Because after a while, it'll rot and putrefy, and it won't be fun anymore. Luke says, for there, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. A lot of folks are tired of church, you know it? Like the prodigal, he was tired of home. Have you heard a lot of people say, well, I would do this, but I got to go to church. I can't do that. Why do we get in the habit of saying, I've got to go to church? I know that's an expression. I understand it. I've been guilty of it myself. But I don't think it's right to do that. It's not right to say I got to go. It ought to be a privilege for us to be able to get ready and for the Lord to allow us to come to church. Allow us to come to church. Worldliness leads to destruction. Worldliness will lead to destruction. The Bible says, he went out and squandered all of his money, and he began to be in want. Verse number 14, look what verse 14 says. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And the Bible said he went and joined himself with a company. And look, I want you to understand, this is a little Jewish boy. I can understand him being a Jewish boy. Look, they didn't believe in any pork. They don't believe in pork chops or ham. They don't think you ought to touch any pigs or hogs anywhere. But where did the devil put him? The devil put him right down there with a hog pen, out feeding the hogs. He had to go down there with a slop and slop the hogs. And he had to go down there. Look, it'll destroy you. And look, he was going down there, and he began to be in want. He's lost his money. He was in rags. And the Bible said, look, the Bible said he would have eat the hog slop. He would have eat the hog slop. It'll lead to destruction. The Bible says in James chapter 4, you adulterers and adulterers, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore shall be a friend of the world will be an enemy with the Lord. If you find anything that's more important coming to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, there's where your treasure is. You need to try to be in the house of God. I'm not talking about being sick. I'm not talking about having to work. I'm not talking about those. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Staying at home, laying your feet up in the lounge chair because I just don't feel like going to church this time. I'm going to stay right here, and I'm going to rest this time. Maybe I'll catch it up next Sunday, and maybe I'll catch it up Wednesday night, but I'm not going now. Lord help you. That's a trick of the devil. That's a trick of the devil. Listen, it'll destroy you. It'll destroy you. First John said, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. But not only that, the devil will destroy our possessions. The Bible said that the Father gave him his whole inheritance. Everything that was entitled to him, he got it. The Bible said in no time at all, he had wasted it all. He wasted all of his substance in the world. He had nothing. But let me tell you something. Where are the possessions? We've got to have them. We as Christians have got to have them, but they're not first in our lives. We've got to have money to live. We've got to have clothes. We've got to have food, but they're not first in a Christian's life. Amen? Listen. We have to get what we get. But look, these folks that will stay out on Sundays and Wednesday night and getting all they can and canning all they get and just build it up and don't really need it. They just want to save it up and can it up and get all they can and let the world go by. They need to check up a little bit on that.
They do, brother. You're right. Yeah.
Philippians chapter 3 said, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss of Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. But not only that, It'll destroy your peace. The prodigal son didn't have any peace anymore. He got out there. And he lost everything. He didn't have no money to get nothing to eat. He didn't have no money to get him a motel room. He didn't have no money to buy clothes. I can see him just about nearly naked. He didn't have any shoes. He had wore them out. His pants is ragged. What shirt he probably had was ragged and just hanging off of him. And he was destroying his peace. He didn't have no peace at all in the end. And listen, he began to be in want, the Bible said. Worldliness breeds unrest. Isaiah 57, there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. Worldliness breeds unrest. You have no peace without the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. If you're a backslidden, you're not happy in church because the Lord's dealing with you. You're not happy in the world because the Lord's dealing with you. You're not happy in church because God's dealing with you. If you come to church at all, you're not happy until you get right with God. If you try to go out in the world and live a sinful life and being contrary to the Lord, the Holy Ghost is just giving you a fit. You're not happy out there anymore either. You need to get right with the Lord. The Bible says, great peace have they which love the law, and nothing shall offend them. Well, that says a whole lot about church folks, because a lot of church folks I know get mad and pooch mouth every time you say something. Don't matter what you say, somebody's going to be mad about it. Worldliness leads to disgrace. He was disgraced. Look, this prodigal son, he had spent all of his life and never wanted for anything. Look, he always had food to eat. He always had clothes to wear. He always had the best food that he could buy. He had the best bed and mattress and covers that anything could have that day. He probably lived in a mansion they probably had it fixed where it was cool in the summertime and warm in the wintertime, and he had never had to want for anything. But here he is in the pig pen. He's down there with the hogs, slopping the hogs. The Bible said he would eat the slop until he came to himself. That tells me that the devil had blinded him, that he didn't know where he was at. He had blinded him. Look, Satan will blind you to think that you're having a good time somewhere when you ain't having a good time. He'll make you hard of hearing where you can't hear that still small voice of the Lord trying to tell you, listen, turn around. Turn around. Turn around. I love you. I want you to come my way. Turn around. He was ragged and torn. He had no money. And he had no clothes. And when he came to himself, he was down at the pigsty ready to eat some hog slop. And he had no friends. Beloved, when you play in the devil's playhouse, you're going to always end up a loser. You'll never win following the devil. You'll never win trying to hobnob with the world. Right. Second Peter said it happened unto them according to the true proverb. The dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed were wallowing in the mire. Yes, we see his weariness. Listen, he had traveled a lot. He had seen it all. He had spent it all. He had no place to lay his head. He had no place to sleep. He was weary. At one time, he had tired of his father's house. He thought he could handle the affairs on his own. The Bible called it stiff-necked, uncircumcised in heart. My daddy used to call me hard-headed. I think that's what it was. That's the right word for it, hard-headed. I heard that word more growing up than anybody else ever heard. Yeah. Hey, son, you hard-headed. You know what? When I was about 5 or 6 years old, my daddy used to, if I'd misbehave, he'd grab my head and shake it like that. He said, get over there and sit down, boy. I remember that all of my life. Yeah, hard-headed. That's what it was. He was hard-headed. And he didn't want to pay attention to anything. Not anything. Psalms 106 says, and he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. What that simply means is, look, the father knew better. The father knew exactly what he was doing. He knew exactly where the son was headed. But sometimes we have to do things with our children to let them learn a lesson. I think this is one of those times right here. Sometimes, a lot of times, God will honor our repeated requests just to show us something in our lives. And that probably what happened. Look, the father wasn't ignorant of what his son was doing. He knew exactly what he was doing. He knew it was wrong. He knew it was headed for a fall, but he accommodated him anyway. Weariness leads to sin. He was starving. There was a famine in the land. He was in want. He would have died. But the devil didn't care. The worldly crowd didn't care. Sin will starve you. It'll blind you. It'll cripple you. It's like cancer. It'll eat you and rot you and destroy your joy. Like the children of Israel. Look, after a while, the Bible says the children of Israel hung the harps up on the willow tree. He said, because they lost their song to sing. They didn't have a song. The king would say, play us a song on the harps. And they said, don't have one. We don't have one. Ain't got no song to sing anymore. Because they had lost their joy. They had no peace. They had lost their will to live. And the prodigal was just about at that point. Sin in our lives are weighed down with weariness. It doesn't have to be like that. Matthew tells us, chapter 11, he says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Look, I've used all of my time, but I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to chase a rabbit right here on this scripture. I'm going to chase a rabbit until it runs in a hole. I'm guilty of this myself. We all say living a Christian life is hard. I've been guilty of that myself. Christian life is hard. It's a hard road to hoe. I can't hardly make it. But look, God showed me this. The Bible doesn't say it's going to be hard. You shall find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If you'll follow me, I won't put too much on your shoulders to bear. If you'll follow me, your burden will be light. It won't be overburdened where you can't walk and you can't follow me. Isn't that what it says?
Yeah.
Why do we say it's hard? Why do we say it's hard? It shouldn't be. If we stay close to the Lord and stay prayed up and stay in the book and stay where God wants us to be, he'll make it easy and he'll make it light for us. Jesus said, I am the bread of life, and he that cometh unto me shall never hunger, and he that believeth in me shall never thirst again. Sin will make you a slave. But Jesus makes our burdens light, and he'll make our way easy if we'll follow him. Swine is a type of unclean company. God won't use an unclean vessel. Look, we hobnob with the world, and we walk around with the world, and cuss with the cussing crowd and drink with the drinking crowd and hobnob with all this hobnob crowd. And look, the world's looking at us. We're setting example everywhere we go. But most of all, God is not satisfied with what we're doing. Yeah. You say, well, Jesus eat with the sinners. Yes, he did. But Jesus eat with the sinners to win them to the Lord. He didn't eat with the sinners and commune and pal around with them to participate in what they were doing. Nowhere. And you see separation from the Father. But let me tell you something. When the prodigal come to himself, he said, how many hired servants have my father got? And they've got bread enough to spare. They throw away stuff every day from their food that they don't eat. And they feed it to my hogs and our hogs that we have. And I ain't got nothing to eat. He said, I know what I'll do. I'll just get up and I'll just go home and I'll ask Dad, if you'll just make me one of your servants, just give me something to eat. Give me a place to sleep. I don't want to come in the house no more. Let me stay with the servants. Just give me something to eat and a place to sleep. I'll be happy. I'll do that. And the Bible said he headed back home. But look, he didn't know that every day Dad was coming out of the house, looking down the road, for his son. Amen. Every day. He probably told his wife, Mom, I'm going to go out and see if my son's coming back today. Today might be the day he comes back. Yeah. Mom, I'm going out in the yard. I'm going to look and see if my son's coming back today. Yeah. One day he went out there, way down the road. He saw a little figure just come right over the knoll. His son didn't know that. His son didn't know that. He's still going over that little speech he's going to tell Daddy. Dad, if you'll just make me one of your hired servants, and just put me in a servant house and just give me something to eat, I'll work as hard as you want me to for you. He won't think it about that. He was just, all he had was a speech. But as soon as Daddy saw that who that was, what did the Bible say? The Bible says he ran out to the son. He ran out to him. And the first thing he did, he grabbed him and hugged him and kissed him on the neck. And here he come. He said, Dad, I'm no more worthy to be your son if you'll just make me. He said, shut up. Y'all bring the robe and put it on him. He said, bring him the best robe and put it on him. Wrap him up. Bring some shoes and put it on his feet. Put a ring on his hand. Look, this my son was dead and he's alive again. Come on up, kill the fatted calf. We're going to eat, and we're going to drink, and we're going to be merry, because this my son was gone, and he's alive again. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That's what the Lord wants for each one of his children. If we're walking at a guilty distance, if we've done something wrong, look, God don't get mad as much as he gets hurt. We grieve the Holy Spirit when we mess up. We grieve him when we mess up. We grieve him when we cuss. We grieve him when we do things that's not as contrary to the will of God. Sometimes we do get him upset and get him mad, but mostly he's hurting. And we say, Lord, forgive us. Forgive me, Lord. I don't want to do that again. I don't want to do that again. What about you? Are you as close to the Lord as you should be? Are you close? They had a celebration. All God wants is communion with his children. He wants fellowship with us. How do we have that? Revelation says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come into him and sup with him, and he'll sup with me. If you're tired of the far country, if you're tired of eating with the hogs, if you have no real friends, the Bible says when the prodigal came to himself, he thought about his dad. I'll just go home to dad. Oh, how about you? How about you? Every head bowed. Let's all stand with your head bowed. Thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for praying. Heavenly Father, thank you for the liberty, God, that you've given us today. Lord, there's one here right now, God, that needs to come to the altar and just say, Lord, thank you. Lord, I want to get close to you. Lord, I want you to help me. Lord, now's the time to do it. God, I don't need to know. We don't need to see the hands. God, you know the hearts. We just pray, Lord, that you'd have your way. In Jesus' name. Every head bowed and give you time to come. If you need to come, you take time to come pray. Just talk to the Lord. Do business with him. That's what it's all about. The bottom line is love. Jesus loves us. And he wants us to love him. That's what it's all about, loving. Loving and having love for each other. And having love with him. Precious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege of prayer. Move, Lord, as long as you can. Oh, God. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Brother Sammy. God bless y'all. Coming.
Amen.
The Lord's moving a lot of hearts today. We're glad for God's presence in the church.
Yeah.
Thank you for God's message. Good message.
Yeah, Lord,
never can you ever preach that message, I'd say, without seeing the love of the Father in that message. Oh, God, thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us.
Amen.
Every head bowed again, please. Let me do something here. Every head bowed again. Maybe somebody's in the service, someone here today is. You're not saved. You don't know the Lord. You need to get things right with God. And maybe you've been off in the world and got away from the Father or got away from the Lord that loves you. Maybe our love's been hindered and our love's been affected and separating from the Father. You never can be happy being away from God. Maybe in a service, and I'm not saved, Brother Young. I'm a preacher, I'm not saved. Would you raise your hand, anybody? I'm not saved. I know most of you, but maybe somebody here that needs to be saved today. Anybody that's not saved will not come to you or anything, but we want you to know for sure that everything's all right between you and God. Oh, God, now bless the message. Thank you for it, Lord. And, oh, God, I pray that you'll help our hearts to be in tune to the Lord and to the voice of the Lord. May we always be attentive to your commands and, Lord, your direction. May we always follow you. Now, Father, forgive us and cleanse us and help us now, Lord, to like the Father loves us, Lord, we need to love the Father, and we need to love each other. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. God is so good, God is so good, God is so good, He's so good to me. Y'all at liberty. Thank the Lord for you today. God bless you.